Hey, what's up, guys? This is episode 32 of the Manga Log Podcast. Apologies for the delay. This was actually supposed to post yesterday. I just didn't have the time to record, get my notes together and record yesterday because I had car issues. My starter went bad, and I was trying to get that fixed. But everything's all good for the most part, and I had some time today to squeeze in recording for the podcast. It's either I did it today, or it wouldn't have happened until like Monday, and I didn't want to wait to post this to you guys. So apologies if I feel like I'm speeding through this episode. I really want to give this series like its due diligence, but I'll try my best. I've got a decent amount of notes here, but I'm going to try to blaze right through them. So, of course, this is the Manga Log Podcast where I introduce a new manga series each week. My name is John, and this week's episode is on The Ghost in the Shell, written and illustrated by Shiro Masamune. Before I get into that, I just want to give some shout-outs. Got a couple of new followers on Twitter. One of them was Tito Evans. Thank you. And definitely a special shout-out to him because, or her, I'm not sure actually, because they helped me workshop a new segment for the podcast. I actually got a podcast segment recommendation, which I'm definitely going to be executing on because I, you know, while the podcast is still small like this and the listener community is still pretty small, I try to pay very special attention to people that take the time to reach out to me. And I think I'm going to follow through with this idea starting next month. It's been something that I've been meaning to do, actually. I just wasn't sure how to execute it. And definitely on Twitter, they helped me kind of workshop the idea. So I may introduce that later on this episode or maybe just talk about it next week. But it's going to come into effect next month. I look forward to that. A new podcast segment. It's not going to be an every episode thing. It's going to be kind of like a special thing that's going to happen once a month. And I'll get into that next time, probably. I don't know. I'll see how long this episode goes. But yeah, this is episode 32 on Ghost in the Shell. I already said that. Shiro Masamune, he actually originally studied oil painting and then he got into manga creation while he was in college. And the first series that he had published, or maybe I don't even know if it was published like through traditional means, or he mentions in a post thing in the Ghost in the Shell manga about what was his first work, which based on like my limited Wikipedia research, I don't know if that was mentioned, but it's Black Magic in 1983. And then he went on to do Appleseed, Dominion, and then Ghost in the Shell after that. And he's done a lot of like collaboration writings for, the anime adaptions to his series, but also just like other production IG series, some movies and OVAs, a decent amount. A lot of like late 90s, early 2000s work. And he's got a crap ton of art books. I think he mentions in the little author notes in this manga, actually, that he's a fan of drawing erotic art. So I'm assuming a decent amount of those are erotic art books. He seems to, that's like one. He was talking about his hobbies. And I think he said he didn't really have any, except he did like to draw, like dabble in drawing erotic art. So I don't know if those are available for like purchase. I guess if it's just an art book, it really doesn't matter what language it's in. So I guess you could, buy a Japanese release or whatever if they're not available in English or whatever. And a lot of those art books are pretty recent. But Ghost in the Shell, it's got an interesting publication history. I think it was originally published by Kodansha, and then in Japan, right? And then Dark Horse picked it up for English publication in 1995. And then I think they released it in like the comic format, like chapter by chapter kind of thing. And then released like a full like tankobon in 2004 that was uncensored. The Ghost in the Shell manga has like a, I think it's like a 3-page segment. It's kind of like sexually explicit. I'm not sure if that was adapted in the anime adaptions or not, but Kodansha and the English Kodansha republished a censored version, so it basically removed those 3 pages, which I guess weren't essential. Maybe that's Masamune or Shiro-san's his love for erotic art. Maybe he inserted into that specific section of the manga. Kodansha republished it, censored in 2009. It's 1 volume, 366 pages. So it's a pretty hefty volume. That's about 11 chapters, and and that's the one I have. I'm assuming. Yeah, because I got it digitally, and I read past the area where that the uncensored content would have been. And as far as I know, it's not essential to the story. So, The manga originally ran from 1989 to 1990 in a Weekly Young magazine, which is a seinen magazine. I don't believe I've covered it previously on the podcast. So Ghost in the Shell briefly ran alongside stuff like Akira and Initial D. And then it's currently running series in that magazine are GTO, Paradise Lost. There's another series that I think recently got an anime adaption, Are You Lost? And then another series, Why Are You Here, Teacher? You guys might recognize some of those titles. Recently concluded was Prison School, which I thought that show... I watched the show for that. It's just a riot. And then Backstreet Girls, about the Yakuza men that get, like, sex changes and they become, like, idols, right? That whole premise just sounds insane. I haven't read it or watched the anime adaption, but sounds crazy. So, yeah, those are the types of titles that I've run in the Weekly Young magazine in the past. Excuse the sniffling. I don't know why, but I woke up feeling kind of weird today. Yeah, so Ghost in the Shell, I think it's a pretty self-contained... Actually, no, Shiromasu Mune, he actually says in the post... What is that called? A post? Like the foreword or whatever? Not the foreword. I don't even know what it's considered. I forgot what he calls it. But, you know, like at the end of the manga volume, there's like this long, like little essay from Shiromasu Mune. And he basically says that he created Ghost in the Shell with the intent that it wasn't going to be like this sustainable series. It's a self-contained story, this volume, which is why I'm covering this and I only read this volume. Actually, I read like half of this volume. It's pretty hefty, guys. I tried to read the whole thing before recording. I just couldn't. I just didn't have time. But I think I got enough to speak on it a little bit, right? Without, you know, giving away like plot details that happen later on, you know, plot twists and all that stuff. But it's a self-contained thing. He, you know, maybe due to the popularity of it or whatever, there is a volume 2 that's like a sequel that takes place 5 years later. It doesn't seem like it's well renowned as the original, and I don't think it's really required reading as far as the consensus goes online. It's not required reading unless you're like a huge Ghost in the Shell fan. You just really want more. And then there's this 1.5, volume 1.5. It's a mini, like, compilation of a bunch of, like, mini stories that are, like, in the universe and are, like, sort of related to some of the events that happened, but not essential again. That's available, too. By the way, guys, if you want to pick up Ghost in the Shell, it was actually a Kodansha Spotlight sale, and I think it's available till the 21st. So if you're listening to this today, which is the 19th, then you've got a couple of days if you want to get it on sale, like, half off. So because the original volume, because it's so big, I think it's like $15 or something like that, and I got it for like $8 or something. So it's a pretty decent sale on this book, and if you get it physically, it's only going to be, you know, more expensive. So I would take advantage of it if you're interested in reading the original manga for the series. So the genre are cyberpunk, action, sci-fi, psychological, police, a lot of genres attached to this. And the story, it basically functions as a, like, a lot of people say it's like a cop, you know, one of those TV series, like the cop series, like there's a new case to cover each week, right? So that's how the manga starts. And I believe later on, I didn't get to the later parts of the manga, but it introduces this villain, the puppeteer, and then you get into more, I think it breaks the format a little bit. But like as far as I've read, which is like, again, a little more than probably 50% of the volume, according to my Kindle, it says I'm a little over half. It's been like, case by case. We have this character. Everybody pretty much, if you've seen any bit of promotional material for this series, you know Makoto Kusanagi. She's like the poster child, right, for this series. So, it's about her, and there's this group, this force. I'm not sure exactly politically where they sit, they tackle these... basically like these crimes that could only ever take place in this type of world. It's usually not ever as simple as like there's a murder going on or something. Like, no, they're dealing with hackers. They're dealing with people doing, you know, malpractice, with certain technology that's been developed in this world, stuff like that. And, they come in and either investigating or they just like pop off and start, whatever. So Makoto, based on what I've seen of her, I always considered her, she always seemed like kind of like cold and collected, you know, just like she always gave off like this cold personality, right? And I think maybe the anime plays more into that. Maybe the live action adaptation, like that's what they were kind of sticking to. But in the manga, she's actually kind of, she reminds me of not quite Re, what's her name, Revy from Black Lagoon. She's not quite as like I guess foul mouthed as Revy, right? And Revy's got like kind of a, she's got a little bit of an attitude, but like that same, the way she carries herself a little bit, but also she's got like a sense of humor. She's, you know, she makes smart comments. She's, you know, makes goofy faces. She's a little bit of tomboyish, you know. So that kind of feel I was getting from Makoto by reading the manga. Makoto, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Makoto? Makoto? I don't know. Anyways, so she's, and as far as I've read online, people are saying the same thing. Like she's much more like cold and efficient in the series as opposed to the manga, where the tone is a little more lighthearted. So I gave you the basic premise. I'm not going to really get into detail the types of cases that you'll expect, you know, because you know then I'm just spoiling the chapters, right? So I don't think you really need all those details, but I can just give you my general impressions of the overall what I got from this series so far. So again, this is like cyberpunk, sci-fi, right? So it's in the future. That's, they say near future. I can't remember what year, but so with any, like anything like this, there's lots of sci-fi terminology, right? And that's one thing I just noticed right away. And I think you guys might remember me mentioning in last week's episode on Blade of the Immortal how there's a lot of Japanese terms because this takes place in an earlier period, and maybe they were sticking true to the you know, the original. Maybe there's just not English words for some of those Japanese words, right? That Dark Horse just stuck to the Japanese terminology for a lot of terms in that manga. And it can get kind of overwhelming if you see them pop up often. You don't necessarily know what they mean. Typically, translators do a pretty good job of having like notes in the either the front or the back, or the, you know, in the side of the panels, to kind of help you along. To be honest, I appreciate that, but also like it kind of breaks the flow of the reading when you have to reference those kinds of things. So honestly, I'm not a huge fan of when there's just terminology that you can only be understood through reading the translator's notes or the author's notes, right? Because it breaks the flow of the reading, and it's just like, okay, I gotta look this up to know what this means to even understand the speech bubble that's going on right now, right? And oh gosh, Ghost in the Shell does it a lot. There's a lot, and I can tell Shiro-san was like, he's super nerdy when it comes to this stuff. I'm sure. Like, you just have to look at the level of detail that he puts into like the lore of this world, and you can see just like how passionate he is about this world that he's created. And he's like, he just seems like a huge nerd. And even like just reading like some of his notes, I'm just like, yeah, this guy's a huge nerd, but in a good way. I'm not like being like, you know, I'm not using it derogatorily or whatever. So, but that said, I had to, you know, these characters use these terms like everyday knowledge, right? So like, of course they would, because this is the world they live in. But that said, I had to like read speech bubbles, like reread them several times just to understand what a character was saying, because my brain would see those words and it just wouldn't comprehend it as a full sentence that makes sense. So like, I'm like, okay, let me reread this because I don't know what they just said. I literally don't know what's happened these past like three pages because they're talking and they're using all these technical terms. I need to go back. And so that's what, you know, that's what I ended up having to do. I didn't realize, because I'm reading this digitally, so I didn't realize there was a whole Bible of all of these terms. Actually, no, they're not terms, it's just like author's notes, like page 47, this is what this meant in this page, this panel, and like extreme like detail for each of these pages that have these terms. Like Shiro-san, just like, wow, like so much information, like it's a wealth of knowledge. There's, and it's several pages long, and towards the back of the book you guys can just look at it and just be like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here, a lot of information. So if you're really geeky about stuff like that, this is definitely the manga for you. If you really like just like really just like dense worlds full of all this technical jargon and just like this is be like, you'll be like a pig in mud when it comes to this series, I'm pretty sure. And I can tell, like, a lot of the people that are fans of the series, that's the kind of stuff they're into, and that's what they get excited about. Me, to be honest, I don't consider myself like the smartest person in the world. Like some of this just is like makes my eyes glaze over a little bit, not gonna lie. I don't mind cyberpunk, but just like, I don't know, maybe it's just the way it was executed here. I couldn't, it was tough for me to follow at times. But that said, oh yeah, so to kind of getting into this, I feel like I'm criticizing a little bit, but I'm trying to keep balance. Like, hey, this is for you, not for me. That's cool. But like, the paneling is kind of, it doesn't help at like pages are usually like typically filled with speech bubbles. There's a lot of text. And the panels themselves are, you know, they're small, they're frequent. So like they're not cut up in, you know, large chunks most of the time. Decent amount of dialogue. It could be, again, it could be your thing if you're super nerdy about this kind of stuff. Just really not so much my thing. But one thing I want to note about the art is just like these, there's, I think he mentioned in the foreword or whatever, whatever the heck it's called, that there were 64 color pages, and the color pages are awesome. I love them. They're really pretty. That said, like, it's weird. Like a lot of them, I think, were really pretty, but I prefer the black and white art. Like, I think when it switches back to black and white art, it's just like it just pops. It really pops, and I really enjoy it. But yeah, I definitely appreciate the color pages too. Like just to be able to see what these characters look like in color is always a nice treat. And they're pretty frequent enough. Like usually, like the intro to a lot of chapters will start off in color, and then the whoever did the coloring, it's cool how it transitions from color to black and white. You kind of slowly see the color fade from panel to panel until it transitions into the black and white color. It's pretty cool. I like the way they did that. I never seen that before. But what else? So to give an example of just the kind of stuff that's going on, and how hard of a time I had following like, what exactly was going on. I think the first couple of chapters had to deal with some sort of like infiltration of like this water filtration facility, right? And they were experiencing, I think they were using brainwashing, which I don't know what the legal, you know, how legally what's up with that. But I think brainwashing in general was like legal, but like the way this facility was doing it, it's a government facility. They were allowed to keep doing this brainwashing, but I guess they were getting greedy, and basically it was up to the major, Makoto Kusanagi and the rest of the crew to investigate them. But I don't know. It was weird. Like I was following. I was like, okay, they're infiltrating this facility. There's some malpractice going on with this brainwashing technology, or whatever. And then I didn't know what they were there to do. I didn't know if they were there to investigate these people. I don't know if they were there trying to seize and arrest somebody that was there. And it was just like things start to ramp up and really get flowing, right? And I was like, okay, you know, I had a hard time following the initial like introduction to this case. And then like things got flowing, and then it sort of just like abruptly stopped. There was like a little chase sequence, I think it was like a little back and forth gunfire, and then like everything just abruptly stopped. And then there's like an escapee from this facility, right? And it's like a kid, I think. And he comes up to the major, and it's like, you're here to save us. And then the major gives him like some really weirdly worded lecture about like choosing what he should do with his life and like not being selfish. But I don't understand, like, because he seemed like he was the victim, but she was lecturing him like he, I don't know why she lectured. It was so awkward. Like the execution there was just so weird. She gave him this speech. It was like a really poorly worded speech about like, just like he was, you know, just like, do you want to be here the rest of your life and just be selfish and get fed and stuff like that. But like he was a victim, like he's being brainwashed, and she's like lecturing this poor kid after he was so excited that she was there to save him. I don't know if that was supposed to be played for comedy or what, but it was so weird. And it reminded me of some scenes, if you guys remember my Battle Angel Alita episode, where like the author was writing Alita like she was just like so cool, right? And they were really playing into that, which I don't mind. That I don't mind that campy sort of like action movie feel, right? But like they would make Alita out to be like she's like saying something really profound, or like just like she's so cool, and like it was so campy that it was hard for me to take it seriously. And I couldn't tell if the author was being genuinely like, yeah, wow, isn't she just like so amazing? Like, look what she's doing, right? Or if it was like supposed to be played for like laughs. It's like I don't like those, that unintentional comedy, like, oh man, it's almost more funny than when authors are being intentional. But like, I feel kind of bad because like if Shiro-san was like really trying to, you know, have a message there when Makoto, the major, was doing this little speech for this kid at the brainwashing facility, I did not get it. So I don't know. But so that was just an example of one of the cases. Like, I don't know what the tone, there was a little bit of a tonal shift there. For the most part, the tone seems pretty consistent throughout. But that was kind of, I don't know what that was. I really don't know what that was. And I just have my notes. They're kind of scattered a little bit. I apologize, guys, if I'm all over the place, but I'm hoping you're getting something out of this. Okay. Yeah, and I mentioned the puppeteer. There's this figure that pops up, introduced in the beginning. I don't think you see him right away, but you hear his name. And as far as I know, he's pulling strings, and this major in her group is following a series of shenanigans that might be having to do with this guy. And yeah, and again, this is like a case by case. I'm sorry, my notes are really scattered. But yeah, and I mentioned how the series gets really nerdy about like technological processes in this world. If you remember my episode on Drifting Dragons, actually, I was talking about the process in a lot of food manga. And this includes like Food Wars. What was that other one I read? I don't think I covered on the podcast. It was like a fantasy world and they were cooking like fantasy food. Oh my gosh. I just said Drifting Dragons. Oh my gosh. What was it called? Okay. I don't know what the title of it was, but it was a fantasy manga. And I think the manga starts off with like this guy's sister being eaten by a dragon or something. And they're going to go save her like dungeon. Oh, Delicious in Dungeon. Yes. Okay. So that series I liked and it's pretty well regarded. Right. But like, I just couldn't when a food manga gets into like super long explanations about how the food creating process and how cool, like I like cooking and I don't even mind like cooking shows and stuff like that. But like in manga, that's not really what I'm there for. Like I don't get nerdy about that kinds of things. Like, and this is like kind of like a criticism a lot of people have about shonen series where like the characters have to explain their moves like, and just go in these long tangents about like what their move does or like why they used it or why it's so cool or like why their timing was so awesome about like they used it at this moment or like like they have to tell the enemy like, I mean, you guys know, like it's like you thought you had me but because I used this now you're screwed. Like there's no way you could possibly avoid this next attack or whatever, right? So like with food manga, it's like, okay, so you do this and this and then you chop up this and you put these together and this is really cool and you can prepare it this way and like this is delicious because of this. Like I don't know, I don't that's not really my vibe. I don't really like stuff like that. I mean, because like literally when food, like food manga or shonen manga or even manga like this, they just go into like these long-winded explanations that I did not sign up for. I mean, I should have known better, like jumping into series when it's like, okay, this is a food manga, I should know what to expect, right? But I'm like, at the same time, it's like how sports manga aren't always about the sport. The sport is like kind of facilitates the narrative, right? So like, yeah, and the matches can be pretty intense even if you don't follow sport, right? Because you're just like, you're invested in the characters, you want to see them succeed, right? And like the sports is just something all the characters share in common and it kind of drives the plot forward, you know, it provides like this backbone, like this structure, right, this foundation. But really it's about the characters, right? It's really about your love for the characters and you know, just being with them through like their wins and their losses. But with like food manga, like and food manga and manga, what other manga that do processes? I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm like all over the place. They tend to make the focus that's like their fan service for the people reading. It's like, look at all this awesome looking technology. Look at all this awesome food. Isn't this great? But like, I guess I'm just, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just my priorities as a reader, but, like, that's not what I'm looking for. But anyways, oh man, I feel like I'm bashing this series, guys. I'm really not bashing this series. It's really good. I respect this series. I don't think it's terrible by any means. I just, maybe it's just the way my brain works. I had trouble reading it. I had trouble following along when it removed itself from, like, all these technological, like, explanations and like, geeking out about that stuff and just, like, kind of got into the more, like, the character interactions between Makoto and her and, you know, the dudes in her group. Like, I found those really pleasant. I liked getting a little back and forth between the major and Bato and, what's that other dude's name? I don't even know. The blonde-haired dude. Like, I thought their interactions were pretty cool. Some of them were pretty sweet and some of them were pretty funny. Like, I liked the characters, but, like, a lot of times it seems like they're not really the focus. We're just getting a lot of world building, which is cool, but like it's all being just spelled out for us on the page, and I don't really care for that. Like the antithesis to this would be like Blam, like there'll be just pages of nothing, like no speech bubbles, no explanations, nothing. Just like you're seeing these characters go through this world, you're discovering it just based on what's being drawn on the page. And that's the kind of, like, that's the way I like the stories told to me. When I think it's only as you know the whole show don't tell. I mean, everybody knows that as a concept, right? That's what the way I like it. And like the Ghost in the Shell is the complete opposite when it comes to that. It's all tell. Lots of, I mean, Shudo-san, like his architecture, like his art is fantastic. Like every and the, part of the, and I don't know if this is a detriment or a positive, but like because there's so much speech on the page, but then there's also he just like. There's a lot of detail when it comes to the background and like the weaponry and the mechs. Like it's really interesting. Like so when he draws cyborgs, especially, I love the panels like where he draws like the cyborgs, like they're hooked up to a bunch of stuff. And it's like, wow, imagine how long it took to draw all that. And like that stuff's always so impressive and really fun to just, you know, see, right? And I could appreciate that stuff, but it also makes the page super busy and just like information overload. But I wish I saw more of like him drawing the architecture, just like leaving bits of details, like, wow, so that's how that would work in the future, or that's how this works in this world. That's pretty cool, you know? But a lot of the time we're just getting like a glossary of information. And basically my whole point is like, I don't like to read. I don't like to read. That's the moral of the story. I don't like to read all these words. Too much words for me in my manga. Just give me art. I just want art. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you're going to include so much text, you're better off writing a novel, right? And that's another example. I watched the Monogatari series because like, there's a friend I have super passionate about it, and I wish I could enjoy it as much as he did, but I couldn't. I couldn't watch the anime. I was like, you know what? I would prefer to read the novels because it just seems like there's way, way, way too much dialogue. These characters are talking. A lot of time they're talking super fast. There's just so much. And if that wasn't enough, like if they didn't have enough dialogue, there's those segments where like text will just flash on the screen and you're supposed to, I don't know, you're supposed to, I'm assuming they're expecting you to pause it and read that text. I didn't, because I'm like, I'm watching an anime. I am not going to pause this series to read these flashes of text that you keep throwing in my face, right? So like the Monogatari series, again, it's like, why even adapt it? If you're going to like not. If you're basically going to try to adapt as many words as possible into it, fit into this 24 minute episode, then like why even adapt it? And I people get really bent out of shape about series not being super faithful or like cutting out too much or like, you know, but then there's other people who are like, well, if they just do a, you know, copy and paste of the manga, then it's not really, what's the point of adapting it, right? So like there's arguments for both. But man, I just I don't even know what I was getting into. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I was saying, like, if you're going to produce so much text, this might as well have just been a novel, right? But, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with myself on that point, for at least for this series. I'm just like, you know, it's just one of those examples of... Just another way I could word some of my gripes. But, yeah, it's like... But there's a lot of text. Okay, that's... Yeah, okay. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. I'm sorry, guys. But I hope this is entertaining for you guys. I really hope this is. I got a lot of energy right now. I don't know why. But yeah. But yeah, I respect his passion. It just doesn't make for a pleasurable reading experience for me. And of course, I think there's like a really clear audience for this. You know, after all the general consensus of this series, it's well regarded. People love this manga, love the film. And I'm, you know, I might check out the film or whatever. Maybe the anime series with Standalone Complex. I don't even know what that covers in the manga. I heard like the anime adaptions cover certain aspects of this original manga. It's weird. Like the movie doesn't cover everything that the TV show does, but they're both drawing from the same material, I think. So that's pretty interesting. But yeah, you know, I think I talked way too much. I don't even know how much I'm going. I'm afraid to hit my phone because last time I did, I freaking paused the recording and I was really mad. Or ended the recording, so I don't want to do that to check the time. But I'm assuming I'm going pretty long. So that's Ghost in the Shell, guys. What did I say? Did I say anything positive? I don't know. I guess you guys can... I mean, ideally, like, this is... Again, I'm introducing you to a series. So it's like, John, I disagree with some of your points. Or I try not to make any hard and fast points, right? Like, this manga is bad because of this. I just say, personally, this is not my cup of tea. But you might enjoy this. Based on what I've said, you might enjoy some aspects of this, right? I was like, I don't particularly care for the nerdy details of this world being spelled out for me. Another case, you might say, oh man, I soak that kind of stuff up. I love that kind of stuff. And that gets you to check it out. And that's the goal. It's like, hey, if you think this is for you, you're going to go and buy it, check it out for yourself. If not, you know, you're just like, oh, you know, I lean more towards what John's saying. I or at least like, I can see the gripes that John has, and I'm probably going to have the same gripes, so maybe I won't check it out. You know, that kind of thing. So I never try to be like hyperbolic, like, oh, this manga sucks, or this is the, you know, this is God's gift to the earth. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be too, too critical, but also not too like fanboy. I do that sometimes too. I do fanboy a lot, and I apologize. But I figure people would probably, if I'm going to lean more towards negative or positive, people would probably prefer to listen to me be more positive. Especially, it's like if they're checking out an episode based on the series that I have as a title, like, oh my god, I love this series. I'm definitely going to see what John, you know, how John goes about introducing it. So, I'm sure people prefer that I lean more towards the positive, anyways, right? And I'm not trying. I don't be positive for positive sake. If I have, you know. Anyways, I'm getting into it. I'm just like, I don't even know. I'm going to re-listen to this episode. I'm just like, what? So I was going to get into the new segment idea. Again, thanks to Deathly. But I think I'm going to save that for next week, because that's when it's actually going to start, I'm pretty sure. Let me... It would start the week after. That month. November. So next week. Next week's... I don't... Okay. All right, next week, I'll probably talk about it more because I don't know how long I'm going. But next week's manga is Vinland Saga, and that's written and illustrated by, Makoto, Yukimura. I actually got this, a few volumes of this actually on a Kodansha Humble Bundle. I can't remember if it was the first or second one. I think it was the second one. So I'm pretty excited. I have a decent amount of that manga in my library, and I'm looking forward to reading that, especially because I've heard a lot of good things about the anime, which is being done by Wit Studio. Which, don't forget about it, by the way, because it's still going. A lot of time, the new anime season comes around, people kind of forget or put the continuing series on the back burner, you know, the second core series. It's being done by Wit Studio, which I love Wit Studio for the sole fact that I love what they did with Attack on Titan. I love Attack on Titan. That's a lot of love right there. but man, they just create some beautiful stuff. So that's Vinland Saga next week, guys. I'm sorry if I'm covering a lot of, like, I feel like these past few weeks at least it's been like seinen, right? Actually, no, Beastars, is that shonen? I don't even know. I want to cover more like shoujo and josei stuff. I feel like those never get the treatment that they deserve. But like, again, like that kind of stuff's not always on sale. But if you guys request it, like you're just like, I want to hear you talk about, I don't know, what, I don't even know shoujo series I was going to say. I want to hear you talk about this. Or in High School Host Club. Okay. Then I will go out of my way to buy a few volumes of that to cover it for the show. I don't mind. I have the money. I just prefer to get stuff on sale when it's on sale. So a lot of times shoujo manga and josei manga aren't on sale, and I'm like, why? I will definitely do that for you if you guys request it. Anyways, that is the end of this episode. Thank you guys for your patience, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.